Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The scripture's kind of long today, so I hope you'll all be awake when I get finished. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? We hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel." And these are Joel's words. "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes." And now John 20, 19 through 23. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
One of the defining musical groups in a genre known as arena rock is the British band Def Leppard, who first gathered in, of all places, a spoon factory in Sheffield in the UK in 1977. Of the five members, only two of them were part of the band at that time, Joe Elliott, the lead singer, and Rick Savage on bass. Young drummer Rick Allen joined the band the next year. And most of the band had formed by 1980 when they released their first LP. Are we all old enough to know what an LP is? All right. For you here, an LP is one of those vinyl records, right? Some people listen to records now. They feel like the sound is different. It's an analog, but it's those usually black vinyl records, and you got to flip it over. It's not like streaming it on Apple Music or Pandora or any of those things. Okay, good. All right. You got to speak to your audience, my friends. They released their first LP titled On Through the Night in 1980. They followed it up a few years later in 1983 with their biggest album to date called Pyromania. It's funny that we're talking about a band who released a record called Pyromania on Pentecost Sunday. But not long after the release of Pyromania, in fact, it was the very next year, that their drummer, Rick Allen, was in a car accident, and his entire left arm was severed. How do you play the drums with one arm? You have something to say? Say it. Come on. You hold a stick in your mouth. So that's really creative, and that's really good. Here's what Rick Allen did. He put together, I didn't expect to get into this level of the history, he put together a new way of doing a drum set where he, with his right arm, would still play various toms and snare, but he had some pedals set up for his left foot. He had a whole slew of pedals set up for his left foot, four or five pedals, if I remember correctly, several pedals for his right foot, so he could play some extra snare hits here. Some of them were analog, so that they would, you know, mechanically hit a drum head, but some of them were digital. This was the 80s where some digital technology was just showing up. And so he would use both analog and mechanical stuff, but also some digital technology. And they ended up releasing their ultimate, probably their biggest album, called Hysteria in 1987, using this new way of Rick Allen playing the drum. You should know that he still drums for them today. And he is revered as an innovator of percussion and the marriage of percussion and technology. That was a great question, and I appreciate it. So they released Hysteria in 1987, which I would suggest is their biggest album of all time. It broke records across the UK and the US. But then in 1991, their lead guitarist and arguably the signature songwriter of the band died, quite suddenly and unexpectedly. And it wasn't until the next year that they added a gentleman by the name of Vivian Campbell. Here's why I'm giving you the history of a UK rock band. Def Leppard, throughout their history, and of course they touch my heart as a Gen Xer, right? Throughout their time, throughout their history, had to continually redefine themselves. Isn't that exactly what the disciples have to do as we read our sacred text? When we start in the Gospel of John, it tells us that the disciples are gathered together in a room and they're behind closed doors because they're afraid of the authorities. Jesus appears and says, he doesn't say exactly this, I'm grabbing this from another scripture, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. You're not going to be alone. As you sit in this place of fear, there is inspiration to come. There's still work to be done. And you're going to have help to do it." And my friends, if that isn't the story of the church throughout our history, I'm not sure what is. Because throughout the history of the church, we sometimes find ourselves closing ourselves off because we're afraid. And I would suggest that Jesus continues to remind us that we have help, that we have the opportunity to do a new thing, that we have the opportunity to break free of that fear and be the new church that God calls us to be. We continue the text with what Georgianne read out of Acts chapter 2, the story of Pentecost. One of my favorite stories. We only get to celebrate Pentecost once a year. It's the only time in the liturgical season that everything is red up here. It's my favorite color. Why is it my favorite color? Not only from the Nebraska Cornhuskers, but also because I love Pentecost so much. I don't love Pentecost as much as my friend Rick Ewells. You've heard me talk about him before. I sent him a text a couple of days ago. I said, "Do you have your confetti cannons ready?" His response was three words: locked and loaded. I didn't bring confetti cannons today, but I hope I bring some inspiration today. And I want to be clear that I don't for a second think that that inspiration comes from me, but from God's Holy Spirit, who we read about in the second chapter of Acts. The Holy Spirit who comes and shows up in a way that seems a little bit scary, that pushes disciples and the apostles out of their comfort zones and says, "You've got to do a new thing." And they behave so radically that people think they've been drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning. And yet, when we tell a very appropriate joke that gets a little bit of laugh in here, that says, "This scripture is long, I hope you don't fall asleep," the story behind that joke is that maybe there is a danger that we're just a little bit too calm. And we don't allow ourselves to be inspired and moved and done so radically that people begin to question us. What are you doing like that? Why are you acting that way? Why are you behaving this way? Why are you saying these things? And I would suggest that the church, universal, must break out of that sense of fear, move out of our comfort zones, and be radical and do new things. How? Inspired by God's Holy Spirit. Now in Acts 2, what happens? They're once again in a room, and they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that shows up as they experience it as tongues of flame. And suddenly, they're able to tell the stories of the gospel in a new way, in ways that they didn't even know they could do it. Of course, one of the reasons I love the story of Pentecost is because I think it's an inspiration to continue to tell the story, the gospel, the good news in a new way. And in the story of Acts, they talk about languages. Look, they're surprised and amazed. The people around are surprised and amazed because they hear the disciples speaking in their native languages. Part of what we skipped, just because it gets pretty long, they were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How can then each one of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty words of God in our own language." Why then do we have a problem going to people and saying, "Look, we can hear God in the music of Def Leppard or Van Halen or some other 80s band or 90s band or maybe Taylor Swift or maybe some other modern artist"? Why do we have trouble saying that God's sacred word is only limited to what we can find in this ancient 2,000-year-old text that surely offers us inspiration, but what gives us the right to say God is no longer speaking? And so, perhaps we can take a moment and open our hearts and our minds and say, God is still speaking to us and inspiring us to do a new thing. Who are we to say that God has stopped speaking or stopped working? But instead, to get out of our comfort zones and no longer be covered in fear, and instead break free and say, God is present in my life, and I'm changed, and I'm going to respond. And I'm going to respond in a way that maybe people might point at me and say, you're being kind of weird today. The early church wrestled with this too. Do you know that the apostle Paul and the apostle Peter had a pretty big argument? And in my reading, their major argument was, who gets to receive the good news? Who gets to receive the salvation of Jesus Christ? Because Paul said it's only those faithful Jews. And Peter, based on his experience in Acts 10 and 11, say, no, the Gentiles too. The early church wrestled with who's included. Remember in Acts 10 and 11, Peter goes back to Jerusalem and they question him, what are you doing in a Gentile's house? And Peter tells the story. And what is their response? Again, in Acts 10 and 11, if God includes all of these persons, then who are we to question God? But again, throughout the church history, we've done this. In more recent history, we've wrestled with the ordination of women. And yet we experience fantastic leadership from Pastor Tara. Friends and mentors of mine, someone who I think of in a maternal figure, when she was going to seminary, would sometimes buy a pair of army boots to wear. She would talk about stomping out sexism because it was still unusual in her time for women to be ordained. Christian author Diana Butler Bass looks at the overall history of Christianity and those times that we wrestle and we feel overcome by fear. And it seems as though there are times across history that we break out of that fear. And sometimes we name some of those periods as great awakenings. And it's her argument in one of her books that we might look toward the next great awakening in the church. And is it going to come if we isolate ourselves and lock ourselves away in a room like the disciples did in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John? Or is it going to happen if we allow ourselves to be inspired by God's Holy Spirit to break free of the chains of fear, to break out of the some of the ways that we can restrict ourselves and expand the table of all who is welcome so that all flesh can see the salvation of God? In this way, being radical, being new, honoring the voices, the visions of the young, and honoring the dreams of the older, together, we can do a new thing. The new thing that God is speaking into existence, that God is calling into the world, and we can respond with faith, with love, with hope, and just by being a little weird. This last year, Def Leppard released a song called Fire It Up. I'm not sure all the lyrics to that song are appropriate for Pentecost Sunday, but they do include these words. Bring the big beat back. Let me see your light. Spark the dynamite. Here we go. God calls the church into doing a new thing. I believe this with every fiber of my being. So let's bring the big beat back. Let me see your light. Spark the dynamite. Here we go. Amen.